Welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbur, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbur will bring in a series of studies out of the book of Acts. So get close to your radio and have a Bible ready as we take a deeper look in the book.
Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you for who you are, the God over here, and you still answer prayer. Speak to our hearts this evening in a mighty way. Lead, guide, and direct us in all that we say and do so that honor and glory can be ascribed to your holy and righteous name. This we ask in Jesus' name, and for his sake we do pray. Amen. All right. We are studying out of the book of Acts. And we have made it to Acts chapter 8. We made it to Acts chapter 8, and we'll look at Acts chapter 8 through Acts chapter 12. And this is the second part of the outline. There's one verse out of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, that we get the outline for the book. We get the outline for the book. Out of Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Do anybody know what that verse is? Acts 1 and 8. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. The first seven chapters look at the witness in Jerusalem. Tonight we'll look at the witness in Samaria. So we're looking at that second part. So the gospel now is spreading on out. It's spreading on out. It's moving on up. If we had a map, you would see that it's moving on up to the central part of Israel, the central part of Israel, that was Samaria. Jerusalem was to the south of Samaria, so it done moved on up to the north. It done moved on up to the north. And this is very important because remember the Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't have any dealing with each other because the Samaritan was mixed breed. They was Jewish people that had mingled or intermarried with Gentile people. And so the Jews didn't want to have nothing to do. Matter of fact, if you was going to go from Galilee, which was the northern part of Israel, down to Jerusalem, which is the southern part of Israel, you would have to come through Samaria. Well, in those days, they would go around Samaria. They'll go out the way. They'll go out the way rather than going through Samaria. Take for instance, let's say if you was going from Dallas to Fort Worth, what's right in the middle of Dallas and Fort Worth? Irving, amen. Irving is one of the main cities. Well, you say, well, I don't want to go through Irving. Irving got a problem. The people in Irving, they don't like us, so we're going to go out of the way. And so since Irving don't like you and you don't like Irving, you'll go way down to, let's say, Cedar Hill. Let's say, what's that other town near Cedar Hill? Ollerton. What's south of Ollerton? Mansville. So now you're going way out of the way, isn't it? Yeah. Particularly if you was trying to get to right there at Roof Snow. right there. Where is Gladys at? Ruth Snow, right there around at 820. 820 and Ruth Snow, right there. 183 and Ruth. Boy, you're going way out of the way if you're going to Mansfield. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that's a long way out of it. All you, rather than just staying on 183 and going through Irving and getting on, boy, if you're going way to Mansfield, way down there past 20 down there, boy, you're going way on out of the way. You done went 20 miles out the way. Well, that's how it was in Jesus' day. They would go way out the way so that they wouldn't have to go through Samaria. But notice, the Bible lets us know that the gospel spread it into Samaria. It spread it there in Samaria. Look here at verse number, let's look at verse number 1. It says, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and that was Stephen's death. And at that time, there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and there were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So the apostles, they stayed right there. They kind of hunkered down there in Jerusalem. But everybody else, they got on out of town. But guess what? Whenever persecution comes in and God's people have to go out, guess what would happen? They would spread the gospel. Yeah. See, if we got ran out of town, let's say this church came up under persecution and they ran us out of this church, guess what's going to happen? Wherever we go, we're going to tell people about Jesus. So in one sense, it was a bad thing because we can't have church right here in Irving. But in another thing, it's a good thing because let's say you go to Mansfield and somebody else go to North Dallas, somebody else go to Mesquite. Wherever you go, you're what? Taking the word. You're taking the word of God. And so isn't that what God wanted anyway? Sometime, listen to this now, sometime God will send persecution in order to kind of give you a little shove to do his will. See, he told them to, you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. As long as you're comfortable, ain't nobody leaving town. Did you see that? But God had to get some persecution, had to send a little fire. And then when he put a little fire upon them, then they left town. That's the same way with us. We don't really go out and do until we're pushed to do. Oh, y'all done got awfully quiet on me, done got awfully quiet. Amen. All right, let's go a little bit further. Let's go a little bit further. All right, but we see Philip in verse number 3. It says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the churches, entering into every house, hauling men's and women's, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. So that persecution was a good thing. It's a good thing. Do you know what's the fastest growing church is at today? Do you know where it's at? The fastest growing church is not in America. The fastest growing church is in China. And they are the most persecuted church. But it's the fastest growing church is China. Amen. Persecution brings about the spreading of the word of God. And so we see here, it says in verse number 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that was possessed with them, and many taken with palsy, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. So Philip took the gospel into a land that most people would not have taken the gospel, but look what happened. Folks got saved, folks got set free, folks got delivered. Miracles was taking place. Miracles was taking place. And that's what you'll see. In those hard to reach places, that's where you see a bunch of miracles taking place. Yeah, yeah. In those hard to reach places, God often do his best work in the dark. Did you hear what I said? God often do his best work in the dark. All right. So Philip preached in Samaria. And then Philip was preaching on the Gaza Road. He was preaching on the Gaza Road. Now, Philip is having a wonderful revival. He's having a wonderful revival. But then in verse number 26, the angel tells Philip to arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So that was a desert land. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopian, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understanding thou what you read? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Now watch verse 35. It says, and Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now that's powerful. That's powerful. Now think about it. Philip has got a good juicy revival going on. Yeah, he got a good juice. I mean, when you're seeing folks getting saved, folks getting delivered, folks getting set free, oh boy, he got a good juicy revival. I mean, folks, I mean, this is a hot, hot revival he got going on. But notice, God called him to leave that good juicy revival. Now, most of the time, when you got a good juicy revival, what do you do? Let's say if the revival is for 1 week, what do you do if you got a good juicy revival? Normally they ask you, can you stay over another week? Amen. Cause there are some folks in town we want to hear you. So can you stay next week? And so you agree to stay next week. And if the revival is still going good and it's still a good juicy revival, then what do? You stay another week. You stay another week. You stay another week. You stay another week. And you keep it going. I mean, you don't shut the revival down. No, no. You keep the good, juicy revival going. I'm reminded of Billy Graham when he first started doing crusades and revivals. The thing that really got everybody's attention, you know, he had already got a lot of people's attention by him, you know, having these big crusades. But the thing that got everybody's attention, if you didn't think that he was a man of God, this here got everybody's attention. When he rented out Madison Square Garden. He rented it out for, you know, a week. But the thing kept going. He started in June, and he went another week. And boy, the revival still was going good. I'm talking about Madison Square Garden, 17,000 people seat. Boy, he went another week. So he went the whole month of June, and it was going good. And so he went the whole month of July, and it was still going good. And so he went just about the whole month of August, and the only reason he stopped is because they had already had it booked for that following week. But that got everybody's attention. For to do that every night for like 2.5 months, that got everybody's attention. That's something that we hadn't seen since in our lifetime. So that got everybody's attention. And that's what Philip was basically doing. Philip was doing something that got everybody's attention. But God called him away. God called him away and sent him on a desert place. Now, think about it. Think about it. Think about it. He was around hundreds, thousands of people. Now, God said, go over here to the desert place where you ain't got nobody. Ain't nobody out there. You go to the desert place and you don't see nobody. You start wondering, you know, things like that kind of mess with your head. Yes, it does. Let me tell you, the thing about ministry, you got to be not only spiritually fit and physically fit, but you got to be emotionally fit. Did you hear what I said? You got to be to serve in the church. You got to be emotionally fit, because one Sunday, boy, I mean, it looks like, oh, man, we're on cloud nine. I mean, the church is packed. I mean, everybody clapping, everybody is happy. And then the following week, man, you have the opposite congregation. Yeah. And you wonder, man, what done happened? Oh, my sister, I remember when we first started the lit church over there. Boy, I used to get excited when I see myself. Oh, man, we done filled up the building. We finna take off now. We finna get ready to take off. We had 85 folks, man. 85 folks, man. We almost got 100. Yeah, I bet next Sunday we finna have 100. Then the next thing you know, we down to 25 again. He said, now what happened? You know, that messes with you. Yeah, and if you're not emotionally fit and if you're not secure in yourself, you'll start thinking that something's wrong with you. Them folks don't like me and stuff. Yeah, no. That's why you can't go on people behavior. Oh, man, and you know, that's why, you know, like choir members, Bless your heart, choir members. You on stage up here, choir members, bless your heart. You can sing a song, and I mean, you have them shouting one Sunday. God used you such in a mighty way. I mean, folks are shouting. 2 weeks later, they call your number again. You get up there and you sing your song. Oh boy, you waiting on them to shout. You done sung 5 minutes and they still ain't shouting. You still sang 8 minutes, they still ain't shouting. You done went 10 minutes, they still ain't shouting. You sang the song over and over and you still can't get them to shout. You're wondering, you go back to your seat thinking, what happened to these people, man? What's going on this week? Yeah, we had a cold spirit, man. That's the same song. Yeah, what's whatever. Bless your heart. I be praying for you. Yeah, because stuff like that can mess with your head. And if you ain't careful, you'll miss the whole sermon still thinking. Yeah, see, you stuck on first base. You're stuck on that song. Yeah. You got to be careful. You got to be careful that you don't really get wrapped up in people's emotions, because it'll mess with your head. Yeah. And you'll start doubting you. You'll start wondering, you know, I don't know if I need to be in this. I don't know if this is my ministry. I think I need to get out the choir, and I think I just need to be an usher or something. I don't know. It'll be messing with you. Yeah, and then you're going to be an usher, and folks won't speak to you, and you say, oh, Lord, they won't even speak. I don't know if I need to be usher. And you try to be greeter, and folks that still won't speak to you as greeter, next thing you know, you out the door, outside. Lord, have mercy. You got to be emotionally fit. It messes with your head. That's why you need to pray for you. Amen. Yeah, you got to be prayed up to come up in the house of the Lord. God told Jeremiah, don't fear none of their faces. Yeah, you can't be looking at people's faces. Yeah, when you are ministering a lot of time, you can't really look at their faces. Because sometimes you start looking at their faces. Sometimes they be looking up. You be saying, what they looking up? You done lost it. See, you done lost it. Yeah. You got to just go on. Amen. You got to go on and do what you need to do. See, I done been in this business so long, I can look at a person, but I ain't really looking at you. Folks never say, Pastor, you sure was looking at me this morning. I'm going to do better, Pastor. I said, no, Lord have mercy. I ain't really looking at you. Yeah. What I do, I look over here, and I look over here, and I look over here, and I look over here. And I have, like, object points that I kind of look at, to just make sure that I'm panning the audience. Because if not, I can just look straight ahead and just talk all day long. Yeah, and that's not good. So in preaching class, the professor said, now, you know, they grade you on eye contact. And he said, now, I don't know if you was really making eye contact or was you just eyeing. And so, see, I can just do some eyeing. I ain't making no eye contact. I can be looking right at you, but I'm just eyeing. I ain't making no eye contact. Lord have mercy. Amen. 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 Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Let's go on a little bit further. All right. So Philip was preaching in Samaria, and Philip preaching on the Gaza Road. But see, sometimes God will do that. God will take you from a public place and then take you to a private place. Yeah. He'll take you from where there's a lot of people around you to where there's nobody around you. Yeah. Yeah. That's just
bread of life sent down the
If you would like a copy of the study that you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinthebook.com. Again, that is alookinthebook.com. And come by and visit us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bobaway Community Baptist Church. And remember, until next time, take a deeper look in the book.